Good morning and welcome to the FTS podcast for Friday the 22nd of March. Again, unfortunately, I have nothing. There's a few internationals. I am currently in a trade as I'm speaking to you for Japan, Colombia, which I have a bit of green, and another goal would be lovely for a lot of green, but unfortunately I couldn't get that out before the podcast, so I can just leave you to wallow in my green, unfortunately. Obviously, we'll get to the stage next week where things will pick up. The golf is going and wasn't the greatest of starts, but obviously three rounds to go, so we'll wait and see what happens there. So I wanted to return to a sort of part two of the podcast the other day. Obviously, I talked about lots of things, how I got started, and that has then brought in a load of replies from all different angles, some on Twitter, some comments on the website, some DMs on Twitter, private messages, and some emails. And I haven't had a chance to go through all of them. I was in a meeting in Birmingham today. I'm in a meeting in Manchester all day tomorrow, so I'm sort of getting ready for that at the minute. But just to take 10, 15 minutes out to push the subject on further, answer some of those emails and go over a few other points. And I, as you know, I go again, everything here is my opinion. I'm talking to you as a normal guy. I'm not better than anybody else. I never try and portray myself as better than anybody else. Every one of my seminars I've said in the opening sort of gambit, anybody could do what I do. And there's lots of reasons why people don't. There's lots of reasons why people aren't successful in this game. And from my opinion, nearly all the time, it is not down to selections. It is down to the person themselves. And we have a great thing, particularly in the UK, of people telling you you can't do something. You go on Twitter, the mathematicians will tell you you can't win. You go out and tell people you're a gambler, and people tell you, oh, you know, you get the stigma, or you must lose money, look at him, da da da. I mean, my personal experience, that sort of really brought it home to me, was when my boy started at Cambridge, and I dropped him up there on his very first day, and he was staying in halls, brand new halls they built, had about 10 rooms on the floor and a shared kitchen, so everybody was moving in their room, and, you know, teenagers head down, not really talking to anybody. You leave them to it. Obviously, at some stage, they're in the kitchen, they're going to have to start talking to each other. And one of the first conversations that they would have had is, where do you live? What do you do? What do your parents do? And my boy texts me within 24 hours of me dropping him off, what shall I tell people you do? Because he was embarrassed to say, in amongst people where parents were doctors or investment bankers or what, surgeons, whatever it was, you know, all high paid, loads of money jobs in there. Oh, my dad bets on football. So he wanted a way to portray that without the stigma. When I got it, part of it upset me a bit because I thought, you can be what you want, say what I do. But I understood his point of view, that he didn't want the stigma of that. He'd moved from a school into one of the best, you know, universities in the world. He already had an issue with thinking he perhaps wasn't good enough to be there. And that would have just compounded it. So I literally said to him, tell him you, whatever, tell him I'm a financial trader, tell him whatever you want to tell him. Let me know. I'll keep that up. We're not going to see these people again in after 3 years' time. But it really hit home to me, the stigma of what I do, and that's it. But I'll go back to anybody can do it. I'm going to cover a few people through FTS. I talked about Gurdeep. You know, I'm immensely proud that Gurdeep uses my odds sheet. I compile odds for 5,000 games a week, and I'm immensely proud of the fact that Gurdeep can use just that information and have a month where he wins 30 grand. Obviously, he might have a month where he wins 20 grand, but I think the boy is definitely on an upward curve because I've seen his stakes go up. Initially, I thought he'd started staking too high, but he's gone up from 400 to 800. He's not been able to do that without winning money. I'm immensely proud of the fact that he's done that using my odds sheet. And while we're on that subject, an exchange on Twitter yesterday where people were talking about pro form racing. I don't use it. And a really, really important point was made that gamblers, one of the people had put for Pro Form Racing, it's too expensive. And I get told all the time, my football sheets are too expensive, my seminars are too expensive. People think you should sit and do this for nothing. Why should I price up 5,000 games for anybody for nothing? Why? It works out, what I charge works out about 6-7p a game for me to sit and do all the work, and for somebody to be able to make 30 grand off that, but I should sit and do it for nothing. And when people say it's too expensive, things like Pro Form Racing, whatever it may be, the work that goes into that so that you can use it, but you don't want to, and the exact reply was, and I think it was Betty Blogger, people don't want to invest in the tools. Everybody wants something for fucking nothing. So when people say I'm grumpy, that's what makes me grumpy. The fact that people want everything fucking handed to them on a plate and other people to do the work. And then if they have a loser, they want to moan at you and speak to you like you're a piece of shit. That's when I get grumpy. That's when I get really arsey. And that's when I'm prepared to do whatever. But you should invest in your business. If you're opening a shop, it's going to cost you 30 grand to fit it out. You're fitting it out to make your goods aware, to make you a living further down the line. The starting point for all of you, if you want to get into this world of gambling, and again, things that annoy me, people not taking it seriously and doing it properly, is setting yourself up at the start. So if you need to buy My Odd Sheets or Proforms Race Ratings or Dean Software, whatever it may be, or Inform Racing Software, then you should do it. I use Football Data Direct. People tell me that's expensive. Football Data Direct, you're paying, what is it? It's less than £1 a day for every single game on Betfair with across 23 leagues with all the statistics, and most importantly, not just the statistics, all the prices and returns to Betfair. So you can actually see whatever you did, whether it would make money, wouldn't make money, whatever you do. The price is the key. The reason I pay for that is for the price. The stats I can get anywhere. I'm paying for that ability to record prices. 99.6% of every game across those 23 leagues has been recorded. Price in the morning, price at kickoff, 5 minutes before kickoff, for every market. It's invaluable to me. For less than a quid a day, I'd pay tenner a day for that. I'd pay more than that. It's invaluable to me. It allows me to make my living because I've got... You can have all the stats in the world like you've got on Twitter. If they don't relate to a price, it means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. And that's my view. I know people will be different, but that is my view. Everything I do revolves around price. On the horse racing, RTS are racing. We collect every runner every day. Prices at 9 o'clock, prices at 11 o'clock, Dobbin prices, Betfair SP. We do all the returns, everything. I've got a database of 500,000 horses with every price. So I can work out simply what wins. The mathematicians will come on, oh, you can't click that and backtest and do this. Well, I fucking can because I make fortunes from it. Because I've got ways of using that, which, as I go back to, I'm no better than anybody else. We could all do. But it's a starting point of where you put the effort in. So I go back to, that's what makes me grumpy. Idiots. Fucking idiots make me grumpy. People telling you can't be anything in life make me grumpy. You should never tell anybody that they can't do anything in life. What sort of world are we living in where you've got the right to tell people they can't do anything in life? You can point out idiocy. And you can do it in a polite way. And remember that, you know, when people email me, and like the guy, the worst email I've had was the guy, Irish guy, earlier in the year, who emailed me when my wife had been ill and the dog was having an operation. Don't give a fuck about your dog, about your wife. Who do you think you're talking to? Who the fuck do you think you are? They wouldn't do that in the street to me. You don't know what sort of day I'm having or what sort of day they're having. I don't know what sort of day. But people in this, you know, cyber world of keyboard warriors don't think anymore. They just type and say whatever they like. I don't do anything other than with humour. I never insult anybody. I'll do it with humour. And the intelligent people can see through that. Some people email me, were you being serious then? Whatever. But I would never, ever just pick up and start abusing people. I'd point out idiocy. I go back to when FTS started. I pointed out people who were selling shit systems, because they were selling shit systems, and unfortunately there's a lot of gullible people who fall for them. But I also try and get the gullible people to look at themselves and not be gullible. You go back to the world of poker. Everybody, poker in the UK was massive 15 years ago. I played online poker. Everybody you spoke to played online poker. The difference was Nobody said they were any good at it, particularly men. I'll aim this at men. There's three things men never admit to being bad at. You never meet a male bad driver. A bloke never goes, no, I'm bad at driving. They're all brilliant. Pardon my language, you never meet a bloke who's bad at shagging. They're all the best shaggers in the world. They can shag for 4 hours on end. And I never ever met a bloke who said he he lost at poker. Everybody was winning. It just drives, I mean, it's mental. It's absolutely mental. So I try and get those people to have a look at yourself, have a look at your setup, stop blaming everybody else. The reason these people are selling shit to you is because you're lapping it up. If we can control that end as well, yeah, we want to have a go at the people selling shit, but if we can control the people buying it, have a look at what you're doing, take a bit of responsibility for yourself. Anybody can do what I can do. My skills, yes, are mathematics, and I'm very good emotionally, and I don't get fazed by long losing runs. I'm very single-minded in what I do. I don't listen to noise. I don't get put off by what other people are doing. I don't, you know, somebody emails me saying, look at this, I've got the best thing in the world, I tend to just think, well, I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm quite happy. So let's go to some FTS members with experience of that. I'm going to start with a guy called Connor. I've never met Connor in my life, and Connor exchanged emails with me, I don't know, a couple of months ago. He sent me some emails, January time, and I think he'd obviously located me through Twitter, and he sent me a email basically asking me a few questions. First one was about why he would like the maths behind average odds and average winning odds, and why do I think that's a fallacy. And I do think it's a fallacy, and I will get a blog post up about it, but I sent him a detailed reply about it. He put about losing runs and how do I know I'm always going to have an edge and is it not going to revert back to zero. And he sort of said, I've had strategies running for 10 years. When do I jump off them and look at them and this, that and the other. And I sent Connor, I sent him a spreadsheet of regarding the average odds, and I sent him an email. And in the bottom of that email, I basically put on him, I'm just trying to find my reply to him. Pardon my searching. I've got so good long email exchange here with him. And I put, this is exactly what I wrote. My view of you already, which may be wrong in brackets, is that you are someone looking for an exact calculation to tell you that this will work. My answer, there will never be one. It is gambling. The selections are almost immaterial. It is how you handle yourself. Set your bank up. Handle losing runs. Connor emailed me this week. Absolutely brilliant. Connor emailed me this week. This is a guy who I had a vision of what I call paralysis by analysis. And if John Blenkinsop's listening, you know exactly what I mean, John, because you are one. And this is what Connor's wrote to me on the 20th of March, so a couple of days ago. Hi Ian, firstly thank you. After trying every strat day in the book and always failing, you have been the man to change my thought process and become a proper trader gambler, or at least on my way there. I started properly on January the 11th, and across six strategies I have won 31 points. All are in profit bar one, which is down 3.4 points. This isn't setting the world alight, but it has shown me it's all about the long term. I honestly wake up each day happy, knowing that I'm on the right path and no longer wasting my time. I am absolutely, almost emotionally happy about that, because it's not the fact that he's winning, it's the fact that he's changing what he's doing. This is a guy who was searching for this, you know, follow the mathematicians, get all the algorithms out, do as many lines as you like, graphs, whatever, which is all complete and utter fucking bollocks, by the way. This is a man who has changed his approach to a new way, and because he's changed his approach, it's making dividends. At the other end of the scale, another winner, but I've got a guy, Jeff. Lovely guy, Jeff. I've met Jeff 10, 15 times. Fantastic guy to have a pint with. He comes to the seminars. He came to our race weekend last year. Lovely, lovely man. Really like him. Only downside is he's a Palace supporter. But Jeff listened to the podcast the other day. I've been doing some betting for Jeff for, I don't know, since 2013. And he said, I listened to your podcast today. I'll have that money out. I'm actually doing okay on my own now. This is a guy who's used everything, but he's settled on a portfolio, again, using the odd sheets. I am up a modest but satisfying 50 points. I'm going to use the money that you have given me, given your the money you've won for me, given the podcast that you've said today, to have a nice holiday in the Maldives. So Jeff's now got the best of both worlds. He's listening, he's going to go and enjoy life, which is fantastic. Go and have a holiday, Jeff. Really enjoy it. Send me a postcard. Bring me back, I don't know, whatever they have in Maldives, a bottle of coconut rum or something. But he's winning 50 points as well because he's changed his approach. Taken longer than Connor, maybe, because Jeff will have tried numerous things. I know he does the NHL, run the lines and things. But he's just settled now that actually nudging along and winning 50 points is better than losing. And I always say to people, the first thing you lot have got to do, the losers, one, you've got to admit you're losing. Two, you've got to admit that what you're doing is fucking balmy. Three, you've got to stop losing. Once you've done that, then you can start winning. And only then can you start winning. And you've got to stop blaming everybody else. And you've got to get in. And everything that you do comes down to, yeah, of course the selections are important to a degree, but it is down to price. It is down to handling yourself, and it's down to betting in a way that you can enjoy, not what you bet, how you bet, that you can enjoy, you understand, you're devoted to. And if you do all that, you make it pay. And I mean, for FTS, I started in 2007. One of the first people I met has become one of my best mates through FTS, a guy called Chris Jones. And those of you who came to the 2013 seminars, he was the guy who stood up and did the Forex. Now, Chris and I have done numerous things together, horses, this, that, and the other, but Chris is very, very methodical, very determined in what he does. But he's another one, he's got no noise, he's not distracted by being one of the cool kids or whatever anybody else does. He does his own thing. Chris has done Forex and he's turned match betting into an absolute art and made fortunes through it. And he says, you know, he amazes me. I meet up with Chris, have a beer. He's in whatever the Facebook groups for bonus baggins or whatever they are. And he says, you get people in there, bearing in mind match betting, you can't lose. I'm sure I've never done it because it doesn't interest me, but I'm sure many of you have done it. They're in there. People, you know, what is it? A guaranteed £500 to £1,000 a month if you start that. And people do the deals and whatever they've got to do and win, let's say they win 200 quid. And then they lose 250 quid having a random spin up on the slot machine. And they wonder why they're not going anywhere. And he rightly calls them degenerates. People may be insulted by that term, but that's what you are. If you can't make match betting pay, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where to go with that. I genuinely do not know where to go with it. It's fucking mad. Every time I speak to Chris, he tells me these stories. And I think, wow. But the point with Chris is, he set himself up. He's asked me advice and things over the years, but I'm not going to take credit for what he's done. He's applied himself to it. And I remember when Chris did those seminars, he stood up doing the Forex and he'd made a decent bit of money in that. We went all over the country. We went to Manchester, Bristol, London, Birmingham, Reading. So I had to sit and listen to his Forex presentation for three or four times. You know, a couple of times I left the room. It bore a glass eye to sleep. It wasn't for me. It may well be for the people who've got the analytical, but it was for him. I don't criticise him for it. He did it well. But I sat there and thought, yeah, he might make £2,000 a month doing that. But that is not for me. How dull is that? What old curve? Yeah, look for a dip. Look for... Fuck off. It's not for me. So that's it. But some of you dive into Forex because you think, oh, that guy's winning, so I'll win. You've got to do what suits you. From this day forward, you've got to do what suits you. Not what I do, not what Chris does, not what Jeff does, not what Connor does. What suits you? Do you like horse race trading? Do you like football trading? What interests you? What's your discipline level like? What's your staking level like? And Paul Surridge, I talk about Suggsy all the time. Good friend of mine. I put some money into him. We met up about 6 months later. Chris was there, funnily enough, in the bar, and I wasn't overly happy with how it gone. Paul's issue wasn't the money, wasn't doing it. Paul's issue was losing my money. So his mental block was nothing to do with other than he didn't want to ever ring me up and say, I've lost some of your money in. And I said to him, Paul, I gave it to you as a tool. The bank is a tool. I gave it to you to make money. I'd rather you rang me up and you've had a go at it and it had all gone. At least I know then, right, that didn't work or whatever. Or it might work, but use it. Use it for the purpose it was there for. But it was a mental block for him. It wasn't something he was comfortable doing. Having a few thousand of my money and betting with it didn't suit him. Or doesn't suit him. I'm working on him to get him round to that. And anything can be changed. It's a work in progress. But it's everybody, every single individual, and when I is different. I've got a one-to-one group. The thing I've realised over the years working with them is I've always sort of said, do what I do. But they're not me. They're 12 different people. So their attitude to losses and risk and things. So I found myself tweaking to try and change what I do, perhaps to suit them or stop a system, start a system because I'm worried about them losing and they're worried about it. It's the wrong approach. I've got to go through each of them and say, right, this is what we're going to do and what suits you. And I'm in that process at the minute of because some people are doing well, others aren't doing so well. It's a matter of getting everybody doing what they're comfortable with. In effect, yes, using my methods because that's what it is, and I know that they work. But it's how we get that information across to people. And everybody, the thing I've learned with this, everybody is different. I'm 10, 12 years older than when I started dealing with the public, so I'm better versed in how I deal with these people now. I'm probably a lot more tolerant than I was 10, as you get older, you do get a bit more tolerant, I think, of things. The small things don't tend to bother me. But yes, I started this with grumpy. I do get grumpy at idiots, and I know that, there's idiots listening to this podcast. I know from emails, there's people telling me I can win tomorrow. Let me there. It's all about. I've never really understood recreational punting, and if you certainly if you're on Twitter, you see tons of it. I've never really got it because that's not me. If that's you, that's fine. I'm not the person for you. I'm not a tipster. I want to give people tools such as the odds sheets, such as using the FDD sheets, such as using my racing sheets, whatever it may be, to enable you yourself to use that to make money. And I'm happily show you how I use it to make money. But once you're on your own, then I can't control what you do. If you win 50 quid one day and lose 5 grand the next, so that your losing days wipe out any chance you've got making money, that's a whole nother issue. That's nothing to do with selections. That's to do with a discipline and how you approach it. Is your staking too big? Are you panicking when you're getting behind? It's a whole nother issue. And there's so much to it. And I do get annoyed when people, I say the mathematicians, a lot of them, if you go on Twitter, you'll know what I mean. They're lovely people. I'm not having a go at them as people. It's this, I think I'm better than you, and I'm going to tell you how it is, and numbers say that. Life isn't as black and white as that. People who tell you can't win at horse racing. I've got friends of mine who win millions at horse racing, and I mean millions. And they're out battling the bookmakers at 11 o'clock every morning, changing handwriting because they're backing value prices. They're backing 16 to 1 shots that go off at 5 to 1. Their only issue is the battle with the bookmakers and getting on. Because if you think the bookmakers don't make mistakes, then you are a fucking idiot. And they make a mistake day in, day out across many markets. And that's why prices move. It just annoys me, stuff like that. I do get passionately upset about it because I know people who do it. I got into this game. JG, one of my dearest friends, talk about grumpy. There is one grumpy old bastard. The guy is a multi-millionaire. I have friends now. Suggsy's met one. A guy runs round every day. Every day of his life, running around trying to get bets on in the betting shop, disguises, changing handwriting, paying people he doesn't know to go in shops and put bets on for him. There, anything can be done. Anything can be done. We've sent men to the moon, so don't think that beating a bookmaker isn't possible. Anything can be done. It is down to the person involved. And unfortunately, there is a war. There's a war between punters and bookmakers trying to get on this, that, and the other. And I noticed today in Ireland that they may be looking at challenging that, the people who say you can't do anything about it. I'm of the view that a bookmaker is a business with shareholders, so it's difficult. But again, maybe something can be done about the issue with bookmakers. Anything can be done. There's a war between the scam sellers, the people who are just taking advantage. But again, I say they're there because there's people to take advantage of. If you're a bit fucking smarter, then it won't happen to you. It's like getting the Nigerian email. I mean, I got a good friend of mine who works in the bank. Got one of those Nigerian emails and thought it was serious. I mean, this is a guy who went to university over there. He said, I think I'm going to answer this. I said, it's just complete bollocks. It's complete bollocks. And he said, well, it might not. I said, but it is. It's complete and utter. All of a sudden, out of fucking random, a Nigerian emails you telling you he's got £1 million and he's going to split it with you. It's complete and utter garbage. I understand why people get caught out with it, but rather than this blaming and this abuse and that, actually starting to look at yourself. So the point of all these podcasts, you know, are when I give tips out, when I get, it isn't necessarily about the tip. It's look at how I got there, the type of football trades that I place. They're actually very low risk, most of the stuff I do there. The website is about the tools I use, which I think are exceptional value for money for what you get and for the work involved in them that you do. You have to actually do nothing for. Gurdeep gets up on a Friday, clicks a couple of macros now and puts some bets on there, and I do all the work for him. He's got to have the emotion and the bank to put the bets on and last that out. And, you know, those come into the seminar, I'll be touching on elements of that. But it's all about you as a person. As I say, the humour's going out the world. We only need to see what's happening with Brexit this week, that the nastiness and the divisiveness that we're living in. It's being a better person, but start with yourself. Have a bit more belief in yourself. Gambling wise, look at yourself. Look at how you want to set yourself up. Look at what suits you. Look at what you're made for. Don't blame the world. If things have gone wrong, have a complete and utter reset. Right, let's reset and start again. What am I going to do? What suits me? And it's not rushing in and doing it tomorrow. A guy's emailed me today. Ray, lovely guy, emailed me. Can I join Ultimate to the end of the season? I could take 100 quid off him and say, give me 100 quid and you can. I've emailed him back and said, no, there's 6-7 games to go. It's a waste of time now. Wait until, get yourself set up for August. Yes, you're going to pay 300 quid in August, but you've got a whole season ahead of you. You've got the videos. You can learn about it. You can do it. I don't need your £100 now, and you don't need to get involved now, because there are going to be, you know, we're petering out. So I have really rambled and waffled on this one. I'm well aware of that. And again, I'll go back. I don't script these, and there will be a part three. But the bottom line is that don't expect to do this game without a bit of work yourself. There should be some investment into tools that you use, be it BetAngels or things like that. Everything, you know, whatever you really need to set your business up to be successful is what you should put into it. And it is an expense. That's what it is. Stop telling people stuff is expensive, because it's not, and appreciate the work's gone into it. And focus more on what you're doing and how you're going to go about making yourself a better punter trader. And you only need to see, you know, a guy on Twitter again last night, Lay the Donk. He's obviously transformed his betting and he's winning at horse trading. Fantastic. I love to see it. I love to see winners. I don't like to see people who just put up winning screenshots all the time and want to be your best mate and talk, look at me, and all the fucking, yeah, hello guys, and here's my video, and boy this, and do that, and sign up to this and that. And when you get to the actual crux of it, it's a load of bollocks. But genuine people who have obviously been struggling and are now winning, fantastic. I could read them all day long. I could read them all day long. I could read emails like Connor's email all day long. A guy who was probably pretty lost in the mechanics of it all and the theory of it all, actually dusting himself down and do it. He's like my email of the week. In fact, Connor, I'm going to give you a free bet. Email me, I'm going to give you a £50 free bet over the next week. We'll have it on next week's football. Tell me what you want to put it on and I'll do it. And you, Jeff, I'll give you a £50 free bet. There you go. So I've known Jeff a long time, Connor. I can't leave him out. So if Jeff's listening, £50 free bet. Connor's listening, £50 free bet. Just for being good guys, turning your gambling around and punting. For the rest of you, that's the lesson to learn. I'm sorry I've waffled. It is 30 minutes. I really hope I haven't ruined your day. Have a great Friday. I do not know if there'll be anything tomorrow, but I'll be back tomorrow with a much shorter version, because you are probably bored to death of me by now. I could solve Brexit, i.e. for PM and all that, and I will speak to you all in the morning. Oh, and John Woods, I was only joking about the Liverpool thing. Don't want you turning up at a seminar and sticking one on me. Oh, and I've got one more word for my Scottish friends, Kazakhstan.